Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can listen to past programs. We're caught up through last Friday. And if you're not aware that we have Friday programs here in northeastern Ohio, where we're out of, we have a half-hour program every Friday from 1:30 to 2 p.m. And then, of course, every Sunday night, we're on from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and then from 11 o'clock until midnight. So that's actually 2.5 hours during the week that we're on. It's live program and not repeats of previous programs. So we invite you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you're in a place where you can't listen to some of our programs, or you just can't stay up late at night to listen to all of our 11 o'clock to midnight portion of the program, I invite you to check us out online, again, at livewithpastoral.com. You can also find out more about me, a little bit of my background, and how I come to be here, and also our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. There's a link to that there as well. And just want to point out that there's a number of articles that are available there as well. Our church has a newsletter, which I put together every month, and I try to put together an article, a different article on some subject. In fact, the May church newsletter, my article was mental dysphoria. I mentioned it at the top of the last hour, mental dysphoria, where I discussed gender dysphoria in light of xenomelia, or as it's also known, body identity integrity disorder and the curse of sin in the world. You can find that there. There's a variety of other articles on a variety of topics. I encourage you to check us out, livewithpastoral.com. There's also links to our social media there, and sometimes I don't get everything on the web page here. I've got some notification on there about a constitutional issue in Ohio that we've been fighting on the battle with, the 60% Ohio Constitution Amendment increase resolution that passed the Ohio House this past week, and praise the Lord for that. But I also have other things on there, but sometimes I post stuff on some of our social media, different articles and things. And, of course, Facebook is a big one. MeWe is probably another big one there, where I post a lot of those things. Truth Social, Telegram and different ones like that. But you can find links to all those different social media sites at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here this evening. And as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And before we get to our first caller, I want to say happy Mother's Day to anybody who might be joining us here this evening. Last few minutes of Mother's Day here tonight. I hope you had a great Mother's Day. And if you had the opportunity to be with your mother today, we count it a blessing. But we just say again, happy Mother's Day to all our mothers out there this evening. And with that, we are going to go to our first caller here. We've got John calling in tonight. And John, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello, Pastor.
Good evening.
I haven't been to one of your Friday meetings for quite a while. I miss it terribly, but I'm working.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I recognize your voice there, John. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm a deacon in Pastor Sanders Church.
Right, right.
But the question I have, being a veteran and all, is the situation at the border. I don't know about you, but it's got me very troubled.
Well,
I just wondered what your opinion was.
Well, I'm very concerned, and, you know, I've seen some people who have said, well, you know, we just got to welcome everybody and not worry about it, and think of the opportunity we have to reach these people with a gospel message. Well, that's a great idea, except that not all these people are coming up here to hear us preach the gospel to them, and we should try to reach them with the gospel message. I certainly understand that, but a lot of these people are coming here for various reasons, many of which are not necessarily good for us. And so, you know, we look at, it's not just people coming from Mexico, people coming from Venezuela or wherever over the border. We've got people coming from Iran. We've got people coming from China. We've got people coming from North Korea. And in the first place, why would a North Korean, how would they manage to get to the southern border to come over it? Unless maybe North Korea has sent them there. And it's just like the Chinese. I heard a figure, and whatever I say is going to be wrong. I know that. But the figure was either they are documenting, they know that about 100 a day, it was either 100 a day or 300 a day. Now, I'm not sure which it was. Even if it's 100 a day, it's still too many. It's 100 too many. Chinese nationals. Now, when we're talking Chinese nationals, we're not talking about coming from Taiwan, which is free China. We're talking about mainland China, which is communist China, which is an enemy of this country. And it is a nation that currently is in a form of soft warfare against us. They're trying to soften up our country and destroy our country from within. And, you know, they believe that they should take over our place in the world as the most powerful nation in the world, as the leading nation in the world. And they're actively seeking through many areas to destabilize us. But if they're sending 100 or 300 a day that we know of, how many more that we don't know of, are coming into this country, and the vast majority of them are young military-age men. Well, what would China be flooding our nation with a bunch of undocumented young military-age men for? And at the same time, buying up big tracts of land next to our military bases, tracts of land big enough that you could put an airfield on them. Almost sounds like they might be buying areas up that when push comes to shove, they could set up their own military base within our country. And then there's the Chinese police stations that the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, operates within the United States. And people have talked about ones in New York and a few other places, but somebody who's, I guess, a Chinese national or somebody or different connections there said that... That there's far more than what we are aware of or than what we realize, and they're not all in the big cities. So when you look at what China is doing, I know there's more than just Chinese coming across the border, but I'm just concentrating on this for the moment. Look what's happening to our country. We have documentation now coming out of the U.S. House Committee investigations, which... Thankfully, we took over the House in the last election last November, and Speaker McCarthy, because some of the Republican strong stalwarts took a strong stand, and they refused to vote for him as Speaker until he made concessions, and to his credit, he seems to have been standing by some of his concessions. And so we're getting these committee investigations into the Biden crime family. And not hearsay, not a whistleblower saying that they said, or he said, she said, or anything like that. We've got hard evidence now. I don't expect it to go anywhere, but we've got hard evidence of bank records showing that the Biden family has received millions of dollars from the communist Chinese government. We have a man sitting in the Oval Office that whose pockets are being lined by the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP. And what does that mean? And is that why the border is so wide open? Of course, Title 42 expired, and we've got this humanitarian disaster waiting with thousands of people pushing into the United States every day and overwhelming us at the same time that the Chinese are bringing in all of these young military-aged men. They're sending the precursors to make fentanyl into Mexico. The narco-terrorist gangs in Mexico are manufacturing fentanyl, which is being pumped into our country through our I'd say, porous border, but it's more than a porous border. It's a wide-open border. And fentanyl is pouring into our nation. Every state in America is affected. Every county in America is affected by this, so much so that the leading cause of death in our young military-aged young men here in America is fentanyl overdoses. Think about that for a minute. The Chinese is sending in young military-aged men and at the same time orchestrating an effort to poison and kill our young military-aged men. And we've got the government who's employing drag queen recruiters for the Navy because we can't get enough people recruited into our all-volunteer forces here. And the big guy at the top's getting 10% of the monies that the Chinese Communist Party is flooding into the Biden family coffers. What's it look like to most people? If you see what's happening, we're in the midst of some form of invasion going on with a White House that's complicit because they're being paid to look the other way. That's what it looks like to me. If it was a Republican administration, this is all you'd hear about, but because it's Democrat, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah,
so
keep thinking about Babylon, ancient Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they weren't taken from the outside; they were taken from the inside.
Right, exactly.
And I think that, and you know, these people who say let them all come in. Well, why don't we all leave our front doors open too, and they can move in the house with them?
Oh,
too?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of these people that are saying that are living in gated communities behind walls with guards.
Yeah,
and they tell us walls don't work. But you know, I was going to say, John, and you would understand this too, because I know Pastor Sanders talks about this as well. You know, we're living in the latter days, and I've said it many times on the program and at our church and our Bible study during our church services that I believe that right now the biggest impediment to the globalist agenda, which is in the world right now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that the mystery of iniquity is working in the world right now, but it's being restrained, it's being held back through the influence of Christians. And I'd actually written an article on this several years ago talking about how because of Christians, Donald Trump got into office instead of Hillary Clinton. And the reason that they hated Donald Trump wasn't that he was Donald Trump, but that he wasn't Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was poised to come in and complete Barack Obama's process of dismantling the United States because the United States is the biggest impediment to the New World Order. And they have to have the United States reduced in terms of the economy has to be reduced. Our military has to be reduced. The spirit of America has to be broken. We have to be made subservient to the global masters. And they've been trying to do it. And when God's people prayed and got active and turned out to vote in 2016, the devil's plans were upset. Hillary Clinton did not get into office, but instead Donald Trump did. He set their plans back. Well, it's a spiritual battle. I believe we were given a little bit of a reprieve, and that's why they hated him so much. He interrupted their plans, but Joe Biden is going full force trying to bring us down and bring us into this new world order, this globalist agenda. And I consider him a danger to the United States. I think his actions are treasonous, and yet a lot of people just don't care.
Yeah, I think that's one of America's biggest problems is apathy.
Yes.
Especially in the church.
Yes. A lot of people are hiding in the church, not willing to do anything. Well, politics is too dirty, and then they complain. Yeah. We leave the political realm up to the world and then complain that it's worldly.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you know, in Isaiah 56, it says the pastors are dumb dogs. And you stop and think, a watchdog, sure, it's supposed to warn when danger comes, but a good watchdog will defend the families with to the death. And they're not doing anything. They're not even warning.
Yeah. And what good is a dog that doesn't bark, a watchdog that doesn't bark?
Doesn't bark or doesn't fight.
In fact, let me read that passage. You brought that up. It's a great passage. And it says, Isaiah 56, starting in verse 10, it says, his watchmen are blind. Now, who's his watchman? I mean, we're supposed to be watchmen on the wall, aren't we? The pastors and such. He says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are dumb. They are all dumb dogs. Now, dumb means deaf. Doesn't mean they're stupid or unintelligent. It means they're deaf. They can't speak. I misspoke there myself.
Yeah.
Dumb means cannot speak. And his watchmen are blind, so they can't see. They're ignorant. They can't think. They're dumb dogs. They can't speak. Says they cannot bark, which emphasizes that as well. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And then it gets even worse in the next verse. It says in verse 11, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Pass the plate. It's better to give than to receive, and let me receive the lesser blessing by receiving from you. You have the greater blessing. You give, and give unto me, and I'll be extra blessed. I mean, I'll take the lesser. You see what I'm saying? They tell you they're doing you a benefit by taking your money.
Well, that's your prosperity preacher.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think about it. It just, the money that they bring in, and it's just, it's all about abundance. It's all about prosperity. And instead of sounding the alarm, they're blind, ignorant, dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And that's where they're at, looking for their own gain, not trying to defend the cross and to take a stand. They're not putting on the armor of God. They're not standing in the spiritual battle. And when people do stand up, even if we don't agree with everything that maybe every little detail of what they say and or how they do it, at least they're taking a stand. But what happens when they stand? The world comes against them, don't they?
Oh, they sure do. Now, a lot of these pastors, they don't even realize that they're preaching Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
You stop and think the number one law of Satanism is self-esteem or self-love.
Yes. Yes.
You look at like a Joel Osteen or people like that, they're teaching you to love yourself and not even think or say anything against yourself. Opposite of what the Bible teaches.
Well think about it.
The Bible says,
go ahead.
Esteem others more than yourself. Examine yourself. Admit you're a sinner, you know?
Yeah, and we're supposed to look at what God has done for us, but, you know, too often it's like you're going to have your best day ever. This is the best day of your life. This is what's going to be good for you. You want to be blessed. You want to enjoy life. You want to have everything. It's peace and prosperity, pay no attention to the hordes of people that are flooding in our southern border, destabilizing our country. Pay no attention to the drugs that are flooding in our southern border that are destroying our young people. And how about this one? You know, Joe Biden as the commander in chief, so-called, and Mayorkas as the Secretary of Homeland Security. You know, these two are responsible for the biggest flood of human trafficking in history. The human trafficking, and there's articles on it, and we've touched on it a little bit in the past, and I believe Pastor Sanders has as well. There are people coming across the border children, 10, 8, 9-year-old girls, even boys, that are being trafficked as sexual slaves in this country. They're bringing them across the border, and they're flooding them into this country. And the human traffic, the sex trade, is greater than it's ever been.
And child labor too.
Oh yeah, and some of these, and that's where the human labor. Yeah, I was gonna say that's where the human trafficking comes in, and not just the sex trade, but the human trafficking, where these children are being brought in and they're put to labor. I remember one time years ago. This was back. I was still in college. I was home, I think, during the summer, and I was working a job moving furniture. And I had a friend of mine that he had contacts with some places, and we moved furniture and for these different places. And we went down to this warehouse in Akron, Ohio, and we had to move some furniture. And we were going in the back door, and there was a central hallway, and they had these. It was an old building and an older part of Akron, and we were supposed to go in and open, I think it was like the third or fourth door down the hallway, and we opened one door too soon, and I opened up the door, and myself and the other guy, we froze, and packed into this narrow claustrophobic room was just sewing machine upon sewing machine upon sewing machine, piles of cloth and clothes in various stages of being assembled, and a bunch of women, and everybody in there froze and looked up at us. And we froze in the doorway. We're looking in thinking, what did we just look in on? And it was some kind of group where they all looked basically Central American, something like that. And it was, they were in there. I don't think they were in there, getting minimum wage and all the benefits that most people would. It was a sweatshop.
You saw a sweatshop.
Exactly. We froze. Yeah. They froze. We didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know us. And we slowly backed out and closed the door. And we went down to the next one and went in and thought, you know, it's probably not a good thing to say anything right now. I was about 19, I think, at the time. So that was a few years ago. But nothing compared to what we have today. These children are literally being sold as slaves in this country. We probably have more slaves in the United States today than we did at the start of the Civil War because of this. But nobody recognizes it.
Well, you know, I keep hearing, I don't know if you're familiar with Paul Schiffer.
Yes, and for those who are listening in Florida, there's a program here in Northeast Ohio called the Schiffer Report on, he's on 1420, isn't he?
No, he's on 1220.
He's on 1220, okay, which is, yeah.
I think Thursday evening around. Either 7 to 8 or 8 to 9.
Yeah, if somebody goes to, let me give the site here, whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. They can look for the Schiffer Report on there. Yeah. But go ahead.
He was saying their goal is to quickly get to where they're bringing 1 million a day into the country, and their final goal is to bring almost 700 million illegal aliens into America. Well, that, if they can do that, they'll take America without firing a shot.
Oh, absolutely. And why not?
Bring on chaos.
Yeah, why not? If you can do it without taking a shot, why bother wasting your military if you can do it without?
And they'll have, we'll have drug lords running the country.
You know, we already have drug lords exercising a great deal of influence.
Yeah, you're right. I take that back. We already do, don't we?
You know, if we had a commander-in-chief, and if we had a chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and if we had some good people in, who were willing to make the decisions and to go after this, you know, some of our military forces that we have, some of our special operators, and not just the special operators, but those that are involved in various aspects of the military, you know, remote sensing and different things like that, we have the ability to find out where these bases of operation are, and we have the ability to deal with them in a way that they would never even see coming. But see, the problem is, they're not allowed to do what they're trained to do, and it has to be frustrating. You're a veteran. I'm a veteran. Could you imagine knowing that you have the capability of doing something to help your country and not being allowed to? I mean, that's almost mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, you know, we're getting to the point where these people who are being forced to not do their duty, they're going to have to make a choice one way or the other. And they're going to have to say, you know, think to themselves, is the life worth it?
Yes.
I sell out my own people by being silent. We're coming down to there's going to be no gray middle anymore. You're going to have either those who believe in God and want to keep America free, or those who want to go with this world order, which is, you know, all you have to do is read your Bible and you'll see what that's heading for.
Right.
And I mean, there's no middle ground. It's America's been divided every way you can imagine. And either it's time to step up now or run up your rainbow flag, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but halfway between where I'm sitting right now and where the building that our church meets in, there's a church halfway between us that has a rainbow flag out front right now. And if I were to drive down there and get off the highway and go by their door, there'd be a big old rainbow flag out there because they bought into all that woke nonsense. And when a church goes woke, it cannot preach the gospel. Because the gospel and the woke message are completely contradictory. They're at odds with each other. What fellowship hath light with darkness? You know, what fellowship hath the woke Belial crowd with Christ? You know, and so the idea that they can coexist in the same thing, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he did that because he loved us, but he didn't want us to die in our sin. He loved us enough to make a way possible for us to deliver these people from their sin. And we don't do the delivering. He obviously does. But, you know, they don't want to hear the message. But yet we still have that responsibility to tell them what sin is and to remind them that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sin. Pay our sin debt so that we can have our sins forgiven so that we can go to heaven. So,
duty as Christians to warn the wicked.
Exactly.
And, that's why, you know, all those years I went to the abortion clinic, you feel like giving up. They mock you. They've gotten so cold now, it's like they're going into a fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even look at you.
Yeah.
But still going to do what I've been commanded to do, and that's warn them.
Yes.
And if you they don't listen, at least I won't be blamed for them losing their soul.
You know, it's like the old example. If you were standing along the road and you knew the bridge was out ahead and traffic's coming towards you, would you stop them, try to stop them and warn them that danger is ahead? Or would you say, well, no, I don't want to hinder them. I'll just let them go on. Which is more loving, to warn them or not? Well, hey, stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And before we get back to our phone calls, I just wanted to mention a couple of things here too as well. Certainly check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And also wanted to just touch on something here too, here this evening, before we get to the end of the program. If you have been watching what's happening overseas, and I'm not talking about the Russia-Ukraine thing, as I've said before, if you've been listening for any length of time, I believe all of that is a distraction to what's really happening. The real concern is what's happening in the Middle East. Now, certainly Russia will play a part, and really, if you follow the Bible in Ezekiel 38, when it lines up the group that invades, that comes against Israel in the invasion in Ezekiel 38, Ukraine will be with Russia at that time. I'm not predicting that they're going to lose to Russia in their war, but I'm just saying that's what the Word of God says, that they will be part of the group that accompanies Russia into the Middle East. But another place, another player, other players are Iran, and Iran is firming up its relationship with Russia, and another group, of course, is going to be Turkey, and that's Tagarma, and we have an election that's going on in Turkey. I haven't heard how it's turned out, but it's gone to a runoff, I guess. President Erdogan, current president, is in an election battle, runoff with Kemal. Let's see if I can remember his name. Kılıçdaroğlu. I think is his name, something like that. I probably managed to mangle that nicely. But they had an election. There were, I think, four people running, and Erdogan had 49.94% of the vote. And I think in Turkey you have to get at least 50% or just over 50%. He did not make it. I wish I could see this better. Kılıçdaroğlu, it's spelled differently on this one here now, had 44.3%. And so they're going to have a second round runoff election on May the 28th. And so there's some interesting things going on there. There's some concern of unrest in Turkey. The Turkish lira fell to 19.7 against the dollar after these presidential elections. So it's dropping in value right at the moment. But in addition to what's going on over there, Israel is being blasted with rocket fire out of primarily the Gaza Strip at the hands of Islamic Jihad. If you remember, in the Gaza Strip, that's the area there along south and west portion of Israel, it would correspond to Philistia in the Old Testament. And the Islamic Jihad, as well as Hamas, kind of share in overseeing the Gaza Strip. And the Islamic Jihad has been firing rockets left and right as of, I think, Saturday, that they had at least over 1,200 rockets fired in the previous 5 days or so. And Israel has been striking back. And they actually, over the last few weeks, have taken out, I believe it's now up to number 6 of the top Islamic Jihad military commanders. They took out 3 of them in one night, I believe it was. So I think over simultaneous attacks over a period of about 30 seconds, they took out their 3 top military Islamic Jihad military commanders. And then they picked off some of the other ones. I think they're up to 6 right now. And Hamas has been sort of sitting silent over this, but there's some concern that this may precipitate some response from other elements, and not just Islamic Jihad, but Hamas could come in on this. We could see Hezbollah up in Syria and Lebanon coming in on this. And all of them are being supplied with funds and with munitions by Iran. And Iran is fighting a proxy war against Israel through these groups. And you say, well, wait a minute. Iran is Shiite, and Hamas and Islamic Jihad are Sunni. Aren't the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims enemies of each other? Yes, they are, but the old enemy of my enemy, common enemy in Israel, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so Iran is funding these people. You also have another group that's down in Yemen, and because China has brokered a deal with Saudi Arabia and Iran, Iran was using the Houthi rebels in Yemen to attack and harry the Saudis. Now there's somewhat of a peace there at the moment, which frees up the Houthi rebels to attack Israeli interests. And so we see this happening, and we know in Psalm 83, there's a battle that I believe will take place before the Ezekiel 38 battle. And it's said here in Psalm 83, where it begins saying in verse 1, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and have consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Caesarea, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And these nations that are identified here, Asher is Assyria, which would take in parts of Syria today and getting up towards Turkey a little bit. But we've got the the inhabitants of Tyre, and that's going to be where Lebanon is. We've got, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. With those, we're covering areas that would encompass today Jordan and there in the Sinai Peninsula and places like that, the Philistines there. That would be, like I said, where the Gaza Strip is. And as you look at these, and I'm not going to take the time to go through everybody in detail, but these people are going to attempt to wipe out the nation that bears the name of Israel. Now, one thing in Bible prophecy, when you read something like this that has not fully been fulfilled, then it's yet future. And this has not yet been fully fulfilled. And so I believe it's yet future. And we have a nation over there named Israel. And we have these nations that would basically, that are identified, which would include on a modern map, basically Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, a portion of Iran, not all of Iran, a portion of Iran that would be, and then also a part of Egypt in that area. And when we look at this, these places, the Bible says, are going to be destroyed as the fire burneth the wood and as the mountain, the flame setteth the mountains on fire. This sounds like some kind of attack, some kind of destruction. There's other passages in the scripture that talk about Babylon being destroyed and nobody ever living there again. It talks about Damascus being destroyed overnight. It talks about Egypt being uninhabitable for 40 years. These are things that have never taken place as the Bible describes them, and so they would be yet future. But the thing that's interesting with this is when you compare this to the prophesied invasion of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 38, these nations that are in Psalm 83 are not featured in Ezekiel 38. And many of them, especially if you think of Syria and Egypt are prominent nations and would have been prominent nations when Ezekiel was giving his prophecy, to leave them out just because, well, he can't list everybody. Why would they list them or not list them, but they would list some other less prominent places such as Tubal and Ethiopia and, you know, Togarma and Gomer? You know, they would have listed Egypt and Syria for sure and maybe left one of those out, and or just put them all in there. It wouldn't have taken that much space. I believe it's because those places will be destroyed, and that'll be the result of the the Psalm 83 battle. And then, of course, that could lead to the unrest that helps usher in the Antichrist coming in, signing a treaty with Israel. And that would be in Daniel chapter 9, where the result of that treaty is he guarantees them peace. And that would set us up for the stage of Ezekiel 38, because when this confederation comes against Israel in Ezekiel 38, Israel is described here. Let me turn there, Ezekiel 38 and starting verse number 10, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land." Now, I started this talking about the massive amount of rockets that are being fired on Israel, and these rockets coming in, people in Israel are sheltering in bomb shelters, and they're hearing air raid sirens go off and things like this. This is not a land of unwalled villages today. Israel is on guard against terror attacks. They have walls to prevent terrorists from infiltrating. They have barred windows and gates all around trying to protect them. There's places in the Golan Heights where the windows of buildings that face Syria have reinforced walls and bulletproof glass for fear of snipers on the Syrian side firing across the border into them. And all of these things, this is not Israel today, a land of unwalled villages dwelling in peace. This is something that's yet future. And if the Psalm 83 battle and some of the surrounding verses or other passages that indicate Egypt and Syria and what would be Iraq today and a portion of Egypt of Iran being destroyed, then Israel also being reduced in strength as a result of this battle but surviving, it could be that the treaty that the Antichrist signs in Daniel chapter 9 with the Jewish people would be one that would guarantee their security if they would lay down their arms, because their immediate enemies around them have been destroyed, as we saw in Psalm 83. They may be willing to do this, and this will be the land of Israel. That's a land of unwalled villages, a land where they're dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates, being at rest, thinking that they're safe. And it could very well be that it's during this time that God puts the hook in Russia's mouth and draws them down in with the idea of invading and taking the wealth of Israel away. And speaking of the wealth of Israel, they have some gas fields, natural gas fields in the Mediterranean ocean or sea there. And I had just read where they are planning on building a natural gas liquefaction plant off the coasts of Cyprus. and Israel's going to take the gas that they're bringing out of the gas fields there off their coast in the Mediterranean Sea, and they're going to pipe it into this facility that they plan to build, liquefy it, and they're going to be taking that liquefied natural gas up into Europe in order to supply the need for natural gas in Europe. And they're already shipping some through some pipelines. I think it's a surreptitious route. I think it's got to go down toward Egypt or something. I forget exactly where they go. But it's interesting. Israel has a great deal of wealth. And plus, there's just the certain aspect that the devil wants to destroy Israel and bring it under his control totally. And so this could be setting up the impetus for the Antichrist to sign a treaty guaranteeing peace to this part of the world. And certainly if this Psalm 83 battle became a limited nuclear exchange, that seems reasonable to me when the Bible says that Damascus would be destroyed overnight and that Egypt would be rendered uninhabitable for 40 years and Babylon would be uninhabitable. Nobody would go there and dwell there. Sounds an awful lot like the effects of a limited nuclear exchange, or at least on Israel's part, using their nuclear arsenal. And this, again, the world would be shocked to see this take place. And if Israel barely makes it through it themselves, this could be the reason why they're willing to enter into this agreement. And the Antichrist could use that as a part of his rise to power. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just speculating, saying that could be a way that this could take place. But then when that takes place, Russia is going to look at their opportunity. And maybe that's just why Russia is building up bases in Syria today. They're building up bases and things in that part of the world, and they're sending munitions and things. I heard somebody say that we had a bunch of munitions in Israel to help guard against some future potential war breaking out there, but we sent them all up to Ukraine. So the Ukraine has been draining the United States and at the same time taking everybody's attention off from what Russia's doing in the Middle East. So pray for the election there in Turkey with their new president. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen there. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel in general. The Bible says that Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone in Zechariah chapter 12. And over in Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And God's people ought to be praying for the safety and well-being of Jerusalem. God has plans for that part of the world, and we see things warming up over there. We're not sure what's going to take place in the next couple of weeks, but we do know that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's being restrained, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, working through God's people, through believers, and working to carry out God's business here in this world. And that is putting a restraint on the devil being able to bring to fruition his globalist plans and the rise of the Antichrist, the globalist leader, the one world leader, and of course the false prophet that'll come along with that. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Just wanted to touch on some of those things that are happening. Pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East. Ukraine, yes, it's important, but it's ultimately, I think, a distraction from what's happening in the Middle East, so watch that. I want to get Sister Mary Grace has called back in, and we got just a couple minutes left in the program. Mary Grace, we got you back here. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Especially John. Tell him to read Psalm 3. Okay? My point is this. I'm telling you, do you know where the key is? You brought it up, Pastor. WEF, the World Economic Forum, George Abbott, Texas. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. And we need to keep praying.
I was praying for him every day.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, I appreciate that, Mary Grace. I'm going to have to let you go, though, because we're going to wrap up the program here. We got just a couple of minutes left. And again, I don't want people to be overwhelmed with this. And we need to be aware of what's happening in the world beyond our church doors and or beyond the doors to our home. A lot of times we want to hunker down in the house and just let the world go crazy without us and just not pay attention to it. People get overwhelmed. I've talked with people and I've had them tell me, I just can't watch the news. It just gets me too worked up. I can't sleep. My blood pressure is skyrocketing and I just can't take it. Well, here's the thing what Jesus said. He describes what's going to happen during the tribulation period and the events leading up to it. And he says in Luke 21, verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Look up, he says. Lift up your heads. Don't be overwhelmed. Yes, we're in a spiritual battle. Put on the armor of Christ. Don't let the enemy overwhelm you. Don't let the events happening in the world overwhelm you. Remember, the Bible says that in the last days there would be perilous times. Paul wrote that to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." He says in verse 13 of the same chapter, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But then he gives us part of the solution, how to compensate, how to deal with it. Not just looking up, as Jesus said, and Jesus did say, "Look up, your redemption draweth nigh." We remember that he's soon coming back for us. But he says here in the meantime, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Get yourself in the Bible. Get yourself in the King James Bible. Read it. Study it. Let it become a part of you. Let it sink in. Pray and ask God to give you understanding of the times in which we live. And then look up. Don't be overwhelmed. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Stick with the scriptures. I've read the end of the book. You know, you read a thriller and you wonder what's going to happen to the hero. How's he going to get out? You read the last chapter, you know how it ends. Well, we know how it ends. Christ wins. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.